Give us a few thoughts on that passage, focusing in on the idea of the gifts that were given. The story is told of a little girl who was asked by her dad what she wanted for Christmas. And the little girl stopped for a moment and thought and said, well, I'd really like a little baby brother, if that's okay. And as luck would have it, they were pregnant. And Christmas came along and the little baby brother did arrive. And the dad said, there you go. What would you like for Christmas next year? And the little girl stopped and paused for a moment and said, well, if it's not too much trouble for mummy, I'd like a pony. Being given the right gift is great. The gift that someone knows you well enough to know what you want. If Mary's listening to the recording, it's Arsenal season tickets. Arsenal season tickets is what I want. The gift that meets your needs. Again, Arsenal season tickets. But the gift that shows that they know you. We love to get those gifts. But so often, the gifts we get don't quite deliver the way we thought. So how many of us have thought, oh, that's the gift that I really need. You get it and you enjoy it for a minute or two or a day or two, a week or two. But then it's on the shelf or millions of us will return the gifts. They weren't what we wanted. And many of us spend time thinking, oh no, there is a gift out there that'll help. Some of us get into debt in order to buy that gift. Some of us think, no, that gift does exist. It's out there somewhere. And we'll scroll for hours and hours looking, going, no, maybe the next thing that pops up, maybe that will be the gift, the game-changing gift that I need. And yet it doesn't quite deliver. Well, in this passage, we hear about a different gift, a gift from God, a gift that makes these wise men overjoyed, literally, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. What is this gift? Well, it is God's gift to the world, Jesus. And the first thing this passage wants us to understand about that gift is that this is a gift of a king. It's a gift of a king. The gift of a king is all over this passage. So verse 2, Jesus is born, and behold, wise men from the east come, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Over and over, we're told that this ruler is, this person is going to be born in Bethlehem. Why does that matter? Well, because of what was promised in the Old Testament about Bethlehem. From you, Bethlehem, shall come, verse 6, a ruler. You can even tell God's given a king by the gifts of the wise men. What's the first gift that they give? It's the gift of gold. Gold fit for a king. They know they're coming to a king, and they bring a kingly gift. Just before my family moved out of Tower Hamlets, we made the most of the £1 deal to go to the Tower of London. Did you know you can do that as a Tower Hamlets resident for £1? And you can get to go to see the crown jewels. And all over the place is gold, because gold is fit for a king. As the carol goes, born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. God gifts a king. Does that seem like a good gift to you? Many of us will remember that it's a few days away from the ruler being either staying in position or being replaced in our country. Now, I'm not going to be part of any party political broadcast here, but some of us are worried about the outcome. Will we get a ruler who rules for the good of the country, or will we get a ruler who rules out of self-interest? I mean, at least they're not going to be Herod, like the ruler in this passage, who in the end tries to get rid of Jesus and to stamp out his rivals. But kings don't always seem like great gifts. But time and again, we see in the Bible, Jesus is a great king. He's a great king because he is good. He brings good rules. This baby grew up to be a man who revolutionized the Western world's morality. I don't know if you've come across it, but I've been reading recently a non-Christian historian's history of Christianity and the development of Christianity over the first sort of 1500 years, especially a guy called Tom Holland. And he's a non-Christian, and he's written previous histories on the Greeks and the Romans. And he said that the more he looked at the Greeks and the Romans, he found their culture to be utterly alien to what he believed to be good and right. He found that they made a virtue of trampling on the weak and vulnerable. And he argues in his book that our belief we should care for the weak is actually profoundly Christian. It's inspired by a God who came to die for the weak. He hasn't become a Christian, Tom Holland, but he does argue today's human rights are actually a repackaging of Christ's concepts for non-Christian audiences, even as secularism tries to pretend otherwise. God, through Jesus, has given great rules to help us understand and produce a society of good. Jesus is good, but he isn't just good. When you read the Bible, you find out he is powerful. He takes on all that is wrong in the world: disease, disaster, the demonic, death. And in miracle after miracle, he wins. Many churches now run what they're calling Blue Christmas services. I don't know if you've come across this, but it's the idea that at Christmas, many of us rejoice, but many of us are reminded that the world is not the way it should be. Life hurts. The last year has hurt. And Christmas is a reminder of loss as well. Wouldn't we love there to be a king who had power to reverse all of that? Well, the Bible presents Jesus' miracles as a kind of movie trailer that gives us a little taste of what the full feature-length film will be like when Jesus returns. A world with no more disease or disaster or death. The Bible claims Jesus is fully powerful and fully good because he is fully God. If I come to see you, I'll send a text or an email. When God comes to see us, he writes it in the sky. He sends a star ahead. Low within a manger lies he who built the starry skies. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. God gifts a king. And yet, God's gift is even better than we realize, because it does more than we think. It's better than we realize because it does more than we think. My nan was given an iPad for Christmas a few years ago, and she got it a bit. She didn't understand how good it was and how much it could do. All she could do on it was the photos, and she could look through the photos that were sent. She'd missed out on a whole world of the different things the iPad could do. And again, you see this truth that God does more through Jesus than we might think in the wise men's gifts. They didn't just bring gold for a king. They also bought frankincense and myrrh. Now, myrrh is a very strange gift because in John 19, myrrh is what's used to anoint Jesus' dead body before it's put in the tomb. Even at his birth, there's a little reminder of what's going to happen. His death at the cross. You know, I'd imagine pitching up on Christmas Day and finding underneath your tree a tombstone or a coffin, right? And yet this is the gift that is given. Somehow these wise men knew God's eternal king must die. The carol again says this: myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, breathes of life, of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. And yet the Gospels see Jesus' death not as a tragedy, but actually as a triumph, actually as part of the gift, as our means of rescue. Matthew 20 says this: Jesus did not come to be served, the king that deserves it, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This king is a king who comes to rescue. So Prince William gets in his search and rescue helicopter and comes into land to rescue people. Well, think that, but times 100 and you're not even close. King Jesus comes to rescue. God's gifts, a rescuing king. Have you ever received a gift that says a bit too much? You know, you open the present and under the tree it's a diet plan or gym membership. Or my Uncle Jeff used to give me deodorant every single year. And I was just, Uncle Jeff, what are you trying to say? It's a gift that says too much. Well, actually, this is a gift that says too much. If you're gifted a saviour, what do you need a saviour for? To saviour. It's a gift of rescue. And yet it says too much. Why? Why do we need rescue? Well, ultimately, the Bible says, because we all try and hand back God's gift of a king, we reject the king. Lots of people in our passage reject the king. Herod does it, eventually we find out, in a very blatant way. He tries to literally kill the king so that he can be king. But all of Jerusalem hears that maybe this promised king has been born, and instead of trying to rush down with the wise men to Bethlehem, instead they are troubled, verse 3 says. They're just troubled along with King Herod. That reveals something of the human heart. We all want to be king because we all want to be the one that makes the rules and we don't want to submit to his rules. We reject the king and we show it by rejecting his rules. I think last Christmas we were given an Amazon Echo, which has got Alexa on it. So Alexa is now listening in to everything we say in the house. I came across one person who quipped this. My wife asked why I spoke so softly in the house. I said I was afraid Mark Zuckerberg was listening. She laughed. I laughed. Alexa laughed. Siri laughed. We fear a little bit that these people are listening in on what we're saying. Well, we hope it's not true. But imagine just for a second that it is true and that the Amazon device or the Google device or the Apple device in your pocket is actually listening in. And somehow technology takes a step forward and the camera can see what you're doing and it can begin to mind read and know what's going on in your head. What kind of things would it record and report back to Silicon Valley? It would report back lots that would make you proud over the last year and lots you'd want to say, hey, look, I did live the way I knew I should. But wouldn't there be lots of moments where you'd be ashamed for others to know what had gone through your head or what you'd done, what you thought? All of those are symptoms of the way that we reject God and reject his king. Because Jesus loves his world, he hates it when we wreck it. And it puts us on collision course, the Bible says, with the king. And the Bible says that we should all die, not just at the end of this life, but into eternity and the judgment. That's the Bible's start message. And yet, don't forget the gift. The gift is the gift of rescue. God's king died to rescue us. We deserve to die, and yet Jesus has come to die in our place. Is it 9 days ago now, the attacks on London Bridge? And already it's starting to fade from memory. But there are examples there of people risking their lives, giving their lives for the sake of others. Lukas Kozacic spent 1 minute on his own, one-to-one combat with this guy, getting hurt with a knife 5 times, risking his life to save others. Jack Merritt gave his life to protect others. Jesus at the cross, he gives his life to protect us. Gold for a king, myrrh for a funeral. How about frankincense? Well, frankincense was burned in the Old Testament temple. That's the place of meeting between God and humanity in the Old Testament. Because Jesus doesn't just die our death, he dies to bring God into our life. You know, has a more audacious claim been made in human history than that humans, tiny little specks of dust on another slightly bigger speck of dust in this universe, get to know the creator of the universe? That is what's on offer in the gift at Christmas, that Jesus' death unlocks the door to that relationship. This is God's gift. Our question this Christmas is, what will we do with it? Will we try and throw it out like Herod? Will we leave it unopened on a shelf, claiming we can deal with our failure ourselves? Or will we receive it like the wise men? Do you see that if this is true, wouldn't that make you rejoice greatly with exceeding joy? Will we see past the baby in the manger, like the wise men were able to do? See a rescuer, knowing that we need rescue. Will we see a king who should be our king? Will we, like them, bow? These wise men worship Jesus, as in they literally probably got down on the ground in the dust in front of this little baby. He said, our lives are yours. You're in charge. How will we respond to that gift? What next step will we take? Maybe we want to know more about what's under the wrapping paper before we receive that gift. Maybe we'd want to take a step. Why not just read one of the accounts of Jesus' life? Why not take away Matthew's gospel and just have a read and just think, what do I make of this king, this rescue that's on offer? Why not sit down with a Christian and look at it together, or join a course here at the Barge that help give people a chance to find out more? Or just stick around at the end, come ask me some questions if you've got. If you just disagreed with everything I said, you're welcome. Or if you agreed with some of them, you're welcome to just come chat with me and we can see where we go.